Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Today's thought on meditation. Meditate to find the way to change your life, the way to make it into an offering to the unborn and to all things. This is a quote from Reverend Master Daizui. Today, we are going to learn about Reverend Master Jiyu Kennett. Her name means compassionate friend. She was the first Western ancestor in the tradition of Soto Zen, which we call serene reflection meditation. She was born 1924 and died in 1996. In 1962, she went to Malaysia and was ordained by Venerable Sek Kim Seng. Then she was in Japan from 1962 to 1967 and received Dharma transmission from Kato Chison in 1963. In 1969, River Master Jiyu came to San Francisco on a lecture tour. As the number of her disciples grew rapidly, the Zen Mission Society was founded and she moved to Shasta, where she founded Shasta Abbey in 1970 in November. In the beginning of Wild White Goose, there is a poem. Flying clouds in a flying sky, I listen and I hear the wild goose cry. Peaceful eve, but it's no use, for I am sister to the wild white goose. My heart knows what the wild goose knows, for my heart goes where the wild goose goes. Wild goose, sister goose, which is best, the flying sky or a heart at rest? She goes on to say, this poem is highly applicable to my state of mind when I left England so many years ago for the Far East. With me was the question of why death and cruelty should exist. When I found out what my real question was, I knew I had no alternative but to go on with my training, for what had really brought me to a monastery was not why death and cruelty existed, but why I was as I was. I wanted to do something about myself, and I knew that I was willing to put up with anything in order to change. In changing myself, I found something more than solving my koan, which was to know one's original face. Through acceptance of who she was, honestly and courageously, and without judgment, she became freer from the tyranny of the karma which she inherited. The karma still arose, but was not as convincing or compelling. There was a significant change in her that came about from the knowledge of her true refuge. Even after finding one's original face, training continues. Karma still arises, sometimes with a vengeance. As long as we are alive, karma will arise in us. Here is a story of carving a stone Buddha. A student once said to his master, in my house there is a stone which sits up and lies down. I intend to carve it as a Buddha. Can I do it? The student recognized a potential in a stone which he thought to carve into a Buddha. He wanted to give expression to his practice and understanding. I intend to carve it as a Buddha. Can I do it? The master answered, yes, you can. Then the student asked again, can I do it? Asking the question the second time, doubt had entered his mind with these kinds of thoughts. Who am I to believe I could carve a Buddha out of a stone? I don't have the skills. Carving a statue of a person is one thing, but trying to carve a Buddha, isn't that a lofty, ridiculous idea? We cannot carve a Buddha into our own lives. We cannot control the Buddha to be in our lives in any particular way. It is for us to receive or get our small self out of the way and allow the Buddha to appear. What form that will be is not up to us. So then the master replied, no, you cannot do it. Without our own faith in the existence of Buddha or Buddha nature, the Buddha will not appear. Dogen has these words for us. As we penetrate deeper and deeper into the way, our spiritual surroundings, we should have known, we clearly do not know. But because we are living together with our ever-deepening investigation of Buddha Dharma and training with it, we have what we need. When she was training in Japan at the training monastery, Sojiji, she found it to be very difficult, but she decided to stay there. The following is the story of Kato Chison encouraging her to keep going with her training. Here are River Master Jiu's words. Kato Chison, when a junior monk, was very fat, and people teased him horribly. In his own mind, he felt himself to be physically unattractive. But because he decided to be the finest monk in the monastery, he turned around to his tormentors on one occasion and said, even if a daikon is small, it is still a daikon. And daikon means great root. Even if it is small, it is still a great root. Do not worry about how much better everyone around you is doing, better than you are doing. A daikon is still a daikon, a great root, and possesses the Buddha nature. Do not consider that the size of body has anything to do with the size of Buddha nature in the body. She continues and says, the story was told to me when I was feeling I couldn't make it, because everyone was saying a woman couldn't make it. In Koho Zenji, Kato Chison told the story to me to make it quite clear that a woman could. Remember that this body needs love and respect from you and everyone else, because it is by this ages that you can understand and get to know Buddha nature. Do not despise the means by which you can understand your Buddha nature. In the morning and evening meditation here, we sometimes ring our great bell. You might remember hearing it. Engraved on our great bell is a poem written by River Master Jiu. From strange, abysmal depths, I have climbed forth to view the universe and find it fair and wondrous as the morning star. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to this great wisdom.